but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Yeah. I reached out to him. He said, let me check with the bookmakers.
Interesting.
He got back to me. He said, Oregon minus 1.5.
I mean, I think if you're Oregon and you faced a BYU in the first round at Autzen, you got to be thrilled with that one.
That'd be a great matchup for you.
BYU can't throw the football. I love Bear Bachmeier, but he's not a thrower of the football. I think Oregon can stop that run.
No, it would be. I think it'd be a fun game though. I think BYU fans would love going to Autzen Stadium.
But John, with how the rankings in the playoff works, it actually right now, if Miami, the matchup would be Oregon versus Miami.
Oh,
so that would actually be the matchup as well, which would be obviously a fun matchup at Autzen Stadium.
That's right, because of the 11, the 12 seed.
Because they would be. They would be the ACC representative.
Yeah, I got to do that. I got to fix that. That's the Mario Cristobal game.
That'd be great.
So if the season ended today, it would be the 11 seed would technically be Miami, right?
Right. Yeah. BYU is the first team out.
Yeah. There you go. Also, number six, Oregon.
Also with the rankings, they moved Utah down a spot and they moved Miami up a spot as well. Utah, of course, played Kansas State. High scoring affair, not much defense, but Miami won by 17, I believe, at Virginia Tech. Like, it wasn't like a blowout victory. They scored a touchdown at the very end, but they moved Miami ahead of Utah. I think that kind of shows what they're thinking.
There you go. I forgot about the group of five, getting that 12 seed.
How could you forget the group of five?
I know, but I wasn't thinking about, you know, who gets bumped out, who gets knocked out of that thing. So it would be Miami, right? Is that right? Yeah.
According to the internet that I'm looking at.
The internet that you are looking at. I'm just going off the top of my head because I haven't seen.
All internets are different, but according to the latest CFP bracket, it'll be 11.
It's one of the frustrations I have in watching this, because Miami would be a conference champion, so they would be automatically in. That's why they moved.
But the thing is Miami really has no chance to win the ACC. That's the problem. Mathematically, they have hardly any chance to win the ACC because they already have two losses in the conference.
Well, they're sitting there at the highest-ranked team. Can they get into that conference title game? No?
No, not.
Because it's Virginia.
Georgia Tech.
And Georgia Tech, both at 9-2. So, we'll see. If it started today, hypothetical, I still like it because it gives us a chance to talk about Mario Cristobal against Dan Lanning for all the marbles.
And they could get, that's the thing, is they could get in as an at-large school and, Oregon could face them. But if you look at it right now, Virginia 6-1, SMU is 6-1, Pitt is 6-1, and then Georgia Tech is 6-2. Where Miami is 5-2. So, they have an incredibly hard way to get into the ACC.
They need some things to happen.
Yeah, a lot of things.
And you know what? I'm still rooting for it, though. I'm rooting for Miami because I would like to see Mario Cristobal. I'd like to see Mario Cristobal back at Autzen Stadium coaching in a game against Dan Lanning. You talk about the recruiting elements and tentacles to that game. Two of the best recruiting programs in the country. Cristobal, the storylines, Cristobal having left the job, Lanning having taken the job. I think there would be a little piss and vinegar. We'd get Cristobal on the show. All right, coming up, Stephen, we are going to talk with David Fry. He is the one of the broadcasters on the Big Dog Show. Jay Peterman is the other, Seinfeld Jay Peterman. That's right. He's broadcasting the National Dog Show on NBC Thanksgiving Day. Noon to 2 p.m. in all time zones. So we'll see it at noon on NBC. 25 million people will watch the broadcast. And the cool thing about David Fry is it's the son of Jerry Fry, former University of Oregon coach. We're going to talk all about it next.
For over 45 years, Pacific Office Automation has been solving problems for business owners. However, the needs of our customers and potential customers have changed dramatically over the years, so we've changed too. If you run a business and want to find out how Pacific Office Automation can help improve your business processes and costs, call us today to request a free workflow audit. Whether it's managed print services, IT services, or data security, we're here to help. PacificOffice.com. Problem solved.
Hey, it's John Canzano for First Call Heating and Cooling. It's getting cold out there. If you'd like to keep your home warm and comfortable, use the experts at First Call Heating and Cooling. We do. It's a no-brainer. The expert technicians at First Call Heating and Cooling are the best around, whether it comes to installing a new heating system or servicing your existing system so it's running when you need it most. Use First Call Heating and Cooling. Stay warm and comfortable. That's online at firstcallheat.com. CCB numbers 238-967.
It's B-Dub, and buying a car shouldn't feel like a hostage situation. At Royal Moore Buick GMC, it doesn't. They're family-owned, the salespeople don't work on commission, and nobody's chasing you around the lot with a clipboard. Every new Buick and GMC comes with a lifetime powertrain warranty and 10 years of roadside assistance. Translation, you're covered. No stress. Royal Moore Buick GMC. Simple, easy, done. RoyalMooreGMC.com.
Find what you love and love what you find. A Total Wine and More. There's so much waiting for you.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, find what you love only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, B21.
40 years, countless stories, and one unmistakable voice that helped define Northwest News. Wednesday, join us for Jeff Gianola's final broadcast. A grand farewell to a storyteller who's guided our community through decades of change. With heart, with integrity, with unmistakable Northwest spirit. Be there as we honor a career that will echo long after the lights fade. Jeff Gianola, One Last Night, Wednesday at 5 on Coin 6 News, watching out for you.
At PNC Bank, we're committed to making an impact on the lives of all the customers we serve, which is why we've created a community benefits plan to support diverse and underserved communities. Our goal as a Main Street bank is to help provide more equitable opportunities so everyone has the chance to have their unique needs met. We're proud to be part of your community. PNC Bank. See how we can make a difference for you at pnc.com/ourcommitments. Copyright 2022, the PNC Financial Services Group, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hey, Portland, this is Patrick. For 43 years, Roof Life of Oregon has been in the practice of roof maintenance and replacement of all types of residential roofing. We're really good at taking care of your roof so it looks good, works right, and lasts longer. Just ask for Roof Life of Oregon.
Hey, it's John Canzano here for the team and the family and the experience at Gresham Ford. All of the above, right? When you walk onto the car lot at Gresham Ford, you're not just going to get somebody chasing you down, trying to sell you a car that you probably don't love at a price that you don't feel great about. At Gresham Ford, they want you to leave with a quality Ford vehicle, whether it's new or pre-owned, and they want you to leave feeling great about the transaction. Why? Because you're going to go out into the world, and you're going to tell your friends and family about it like I'm telling you about it right now. We've done business with Gresham Ford. We love the family atmosphere. We feel great about the vehicles we bought there. But most of all, I feel great about the transaction and the way that we were treated. They have a way of treating people at Gresham Ford that really is different. It truly is a family. And that starts with Bess Wills and her son, Preston. So yes, find their complete inventory of vehicles online at GreshamFord.com or go see them in person on Powell Boulevard in Gresham. Gresham Ford, the dealer with a heart.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Every year we have our next guest on. He grew up in Eugene. He is he was a Duck. He's always a Duck. His father, Jerry Fry, was a coach who opened Autzen Stadium. David Fry joining us. From the road, because guess what? NBC's got the dog show on Thanksgiving Day. For most of us, it'll be football and it'll be the dog show on NBC. 24th year, David Fry joining us. How are you, man?
John, I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. It's always fun to be on with you. It's always fun to talk about my Ducks. Your young intern works hard to keep me informed the time about what's going on in Eugene, because I live in Seattle now.
Yeah.
Which is not easy, being a Duck in Seattle. But I probably have more Duck clothes than anybody else in Seattle.
Well, you got to
occasionally I'll run into somebody.
Big week this week is, people probably, start talking about that game all during Thanksgiving week and into the weekend. How are people in Washington handling the Ducks and their success this year?
They always just sort of shake their head at me whenever I show up in a Duck shirt.
Yeah.
And say, well, we're coming after you this year. And I said, come on, bring it on. I'm ready to go. And I love what Dan Lanning does. I love everything he does on and off the field. And think the Ducks are in such good hands right now that I hope he never leaves.
Your dad, you know, I was looking at this, all the coaches who had coached in Autzen Stadium, I think there's 10 now. Your dad opened it. He was the first. What do you remember of your first games in that stadium, and how new did that feel?
It felt new, but, you know, it was just kind of a big mass of concrete back then when it first opened, and I don't think it was even $1 million to get it open back in 67. And his first game, he had been on the staff there for 12 years as an assistant to Len Casanova.
Yeah.
And when he started the next year as head coach, I think the first couple of games were on the road, but the first home game played at Autzen Stadium was his game. It was his game, and it was a lot of fun to be there. What I remember is the second year when they put in AstroTurf, I remember that I got a hunk of that AstroTurf that was left over and had it in my living room as I was going through college.
So I love that.
Got to tell that story to everybody.
So you just laid it out in the middle of the floor in the living room?
Yeah, and as you know, and as the players have said through all those early years, it's not especially comfortable.
Yeah.
You can't just kind of roll around on the AstroTurf. But it was fun to be able to say, hey, you know where this came from? I said, well, what is it, first of all? Well, it's AstroTurf. And it was great. It was great fun being a Duck. Even as you said, as you alluded to, there's no such thing as an ex-Duck. We hear Fouts and Magershad, who were the stars of my dad's early years, saying all the time on television, there's no such thing as an ex-Duck.
Did you have a sense that Dan Fouts was Dan Fouts at that time, or does it happen later and you look back at it?
No, I really didn't. He was just a skinny kid out of San Francisco. You know, he weighed 170 pounds or something. And as he came on, when my dad had him as his quarterback, he put all his chips on number 11 as he was at University of Oregon. And Dan came through for him. Dan was with him all the way to the end, organized a couple of memorial services for my dad after he passed. And God love him. I hope he's doing well in Sun River.
Yeah. We're talking to David Fry. It'll be his 24th year. The National Dog Show is on NBC coming up on Thursday on Thanksgiving. Give us an idea, like, you know, this thing has universal appeal, obviously, of 25 million total viewers are tuning in. You know, you're talking about people that love dogs, who know dogs, people who just go, oh, I like dogs, this is cute. You know, you've got kind of a wide-ranging audience. So how do you broadcast that kind of show?
Well, there's a certain part of it, of course, that is dog show oriented for dog show people. But, you know, the 98% of our audience has never been to a dog show and will probably never go to a dog show. So we try to tell some stories about the individual breeds, what they were originally bred to do, why they look the way they do, what's the deal on that poodle haircut, those kinds of things. But we also know that the families are watching at home, and if they're sitting at home on their couch with their Brittany, I want them to root for the Brittany, just like I root for the Ducks whenever they're on. I want you to have the alma mater factor in the dog show as well. But they watch for the competition. They want to see who's going to win. They watch to be entertained. They watch to see the new breeds. And they watch just to smile. That's what it's all about with our dogs.
You've got Mr. Peterman, John O'Hurley, who's been with you there for like 20 years, I think, and calling this event. What is that like to be with Peterman?
It's all 24 years we've been together. Okay. It's longer than most any relationship I've ever had. He, you know, he'll say something every once in a while. And when I'm not looking at him, he'll say something and I'll think, God, that wasn't John O'Hurley. That was Jay Peterman.
Yeah.
So where's Jerry? Where's Elaine?
Right.
He is so funny and he's so well-spoken. And the greatest pressure that I have is standing next to him on camera because he's 6'2". He's got great hair. He's, you know, skinny and talented and eloquent. And it's a lot of fun being with him because everybody knows him. Hey, Peterman.
Yeah.
And
do you think that gets old for him as he's walking down the street? I mean, because he's Jay Peterman for everybody because of Seinfeld.
He'll be Jay Peterman forever. And he's a wonderfully talented guy. He's got a one-man show where he sings and tells stories. That's the most fun I've ever had in a nightclub, listening to him do his show. And he sings. He's greatly involved with charity events and things. That it's fun to have him as my friend as well as my partner.
How many dogs are we talking about at this National Dog Show?
We were six dogs short of being 2,000 dogs this year.
Wow.
Which, you know, we used to be up or over 2,000 before the pandemic. and we've had to come back gradually, but we have 2,000 dogs of over 200 breeds and varieties. So it's going to be like, it's not going to be like any day walking to the park and looking at the dogs there. You're going to see a bunch of different dogs that you've never seen before by watching our dog show.
I am kind of more of a standard golden retriever guy. And I think the retrievers have to be some of the more popular breeds, right? I mean, the largest entries you're talking about.
Everybody loves the golden. Yeah, we do get a lot of goldens entered. I think that's our high entry this year. But goldens and Labradors inevitably have the largest entry and probably a lot of people watching to see them. We're still waiting to get a golden retriever or a Labrador best in show at our show. In 24 years, we haven't had one. Never had one at Westminster when I did that one for 27 years. We've got to get one of those dogs to win. If we get a golden retriever to win, it'd be like when we had Uno, the Beagle, win best in show at Westminster in 2008. The world will stop, and we'll go everywhere with that dog and have a lot of fun.
My sister will, she shows Newfoundlands, and so she's got these big slobbering grizzly bear looking dogs that are just, you know, just drooling all over the place. Not my thing, but.
You can't be a neat freak and have a Newfoundland.
No. I mean,
once you get dressed up, you got to run for the door.
It is kind of a showy dog. Like if you bring that dog to Starbucks, you're going to draw a crowd. But we ended up in our family with a sheep-a-doodle, and my sister kind of looks down on it because it's, you know, it's this hybrid, right? It's across and people in that industry, like, cause there is a segment of that dog world that, yeah, I don't want to say that they're snobby. I'm just going to say they're persnickety about what they like and what, you know, what they will accept. And so how do you navigate that when you're broadcasting and you get somebody and you kind of look at them and going, you go, wow, you're really into this.
You know, I've never met a golden doodle or some doodle dog that didn't have the greatest personality, happy, friendly, and so on. But I will ask them, I said, how big's your dog? And they'll say 85 pounds. I said, oh, great. I said, when you bought it, how much did they tell you it was going to weigh? They said, 40.
Yeah.
I said, well, you got surprised then, didn't you? And that's when dogs end up having to go away because people aren't ready for the problems. The greatest thing about purebred dogs is their predictability. I know this little ball of fluff, it's a little black ball of fluff, that's a Newfoundland that's going to grow up to be a 90-pound ball of fluff. And if they tell me it's going to be 50, I might not be ready for that. So that's what we have going for us. We are preservationists in a certain sense. We're trying to preserve these pure breeds that are out there and that have been developed through the years so that we know when they grow up. We know what their temperament's going to be. We know what their conditioning needs are going to be. We know what their health needs are. And that's the best thing about purebred dogs. Not at the expense of golden doodles, because golden doodles are great for certain people if they like those kind of things.
If you're into that.
You love a dog, you can watch it. Yeah. If you love a dog, you're going to love our show, whether the dog sitting next to you on the couch is a golden doodle or a golden retriever.
The National Dog Show, Thanksgiving Day. Is this 2 o'clock everywhere? Is that where it's broadcasting?
It's noon to 2 in every time zone. We even got CBS to move the kickoff of their football game
there
back from 12:30 to 1 o'clock to stay out of our way. So,
there you go.
So we're getting some noon respect to everywhere.
Noon to 2
noon
everywhere.
To two, all time zones.
Yeah, on NBC, the National Dog Show. David Fry is with us. Tell me a little bit more about your dogs. What do you have these days?
I've sized down through the years, as I think it corresponds with my aging process. But I started in dog shows with Afghan hounds. Had Afghan hounds for a lot of years. Bred a great Afghan hound that brought a lot of that introduced the Westminster people to me, who found me through the television all those years ago. But I blame it on a girl. In college at the University of Oregon, I moved into my own house, and my girlfriend said, "Let's get a dog." I said, okay, what kind? She said, how about an Afghan hound? I said, I don't know what that is. I'd never had a dog. But we got the dog. 3 weeks later, the girl left. The dog stayed, and it was the best thing that could have happened to all three of us. And then I went from there. I got Brittany's. They're a little smaller and got more involved with therapy dog work as well. But they were all show dogs. And now I've got a Cavalier, my Cavalier, True Dat. Pretend you're in New Orleans. True Dad is my Cavalier, and she and I do a lot of therapy dog work. She travels with me everywhere. She's here in my hotel room in New York City right now, snoring away on my pillow. So I'd like them all. I have to. I'm the dog guy. I got to like them all.
David, you've also, among other things, been a owner of a couple of sports bars. What was that experience like for you?
It's tough to be a duck and own a sports bar in Seattle. There were certain days that I had to stay away from my own place. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, True has her picture on the wall at the greatest sports bar in Seattle at Buckley's. Her picture and my picture with the owner are on the wall there. And we have fun with it. People throw things at me when the Ducks are playing on TV, no matter if they're playing the Huskies or somebody else. But that's the great thing. Sports are kind of like dogs. I mean, they bring us together in a competitive way. And I think that's, we all love our dogs. And that makes up for them being Huskies and me being a Duck.
I want to ask you, you know, we've been talking on the show today a little bit about Bruce Barnum, the Portland State coach, who was fired on Saturday night as athletic director meets the team at the tarmac as the plane's coming back and fires the coach. You've got Trent Bray.
That's disgraceful. Yeah, that's disgusting.
It is really disappointing. And, you know, you wait till the next day, have some dignity, call the coach in and have a conversation face-to-face. It's ridiculous. But, you know, Trent Bray, Oregon State coach, he's let go this year. You know, as the son of a coach, you watched your dad at Oregon, both as an assistant and a head coach, and then in the NFL. You watched your dad live this life that, you know, most of these coaches, there's a season, you know, for their tenure, and then it ends. And how, what was that like for you to be in the household while dad's going through that?
You know, as I was growing up, from the time I was about, we came to Eugene when I was about 7 years old, and I hung out, grew up in the equipment room under MacArthur Court, and watching my dad be an assistant for 12 years and then the head coach for five. So my whole time through school, including the University of Oregon, he was always there. My sister and my brother and my three sisters and my brother, they got to move around a little bit more than I ever had to. So, but we were always prepared for that. We were always talking about it. It's just a part of the job. I got fired. I went to work for the 49ers, and I got fired by the 49ers after we were 2-14, in spite of having O.J. Simpson as our guy. But I was a PR guy, and I said, you know, I don't know how much I had to do with us going 2-14, but I understand.
Yeah.
I understand that it's a fact of life here. And so we had fun. I got a lot out of that year with O.J. and the good O.J. You know, I can't put that picture on my wall anymore, yeah. But I loved him. He was everything a PR guy could want. And it's just a fact of life, I think, that we're all ready to deal with. And we commiserate with the guys who get fired. We celebrate with the guys who succeed. And that's fun. My dad, when he in his later years, closing out at Denver with the Broncos, worked for some guys. Mike Shanahan, when Mike Shanahan stepped down in Denver, he spent about an hour at his closing press conference talking about my dad and Jack Elway, who were his two best friends on the staff. My dad and Jack were best friends. And he spent more time talking about them and what he had done for his football education. And that, you know, that comes back and say, you know what? There was a lot of good things that happened. We had a great life in Eugene. We had a great life in Eugene. I wish, you know, it hadn't ended the way it did, but it wasn't ugly. It was my dad's choice. And it was for a bad, I didn't care for the reason that he made that decision. But at the same time, we had a great life in Eugene as a family. And so did he. He made a lot of great friends and had a lot of great people in his life that influenced what he did later. And so did I. So did everybody in my family. And we will always love our time in Eugene.
And your dad goes on to win two Super Bowls as part of the staff with the Denver Broncos. I mean, that doesn't happen if, you know, he doesn't end up leaving Eugene. And so, you know, you always kind of look at the door that opens. And by the way, that 1979 San Francisco 49ers team that went 2-14, that was my team. I was 9 years old rooting for that team. I can tell you Paul Hofer was in the backfield on that team. I can tell you that, you know, that coaching staff was what? It was, you know, Sam Weich, Dennis Green, Bob McKittrick, Mike White. You know, Bill Walsh is the head coach. Those guys were not bad. Like, you know, it wasn't the coaching. Steve DeBerg.
Yeah.
You know, it was a different time.
You're always a better coach when you have good players, of course. Yes. And that's all part of the deal. But, we fought our way through it, and everybody's going to have a 2-14 season sooner or later. And that was when I worked for the Broncos, we had just been to the Super Bowl the first time. So I got a Super Bowl ring the day they gave us our rings. The phone rings, and it was the general manager from the 49ers saying, hey, we want you to come to work for us and be our PR guy. I said, why do I want to come to work for you? You were just 2-14, and we're just coming out of a Super Bowl. And he says, Well, I can tell you, but you can't tell anybody. I said, I'm a PR guy. I'm going to tell everybody. He says, we just traded for OJ. I said, geez, I'm a PR guy and I get OJ?
Get there.
I went to San Francisco. We were 2-14. We had a great time.
What was OJ like?
For 2-14.
What was OJ like from a PR perspective to deal with?
He was the ultimate PR guy. I don't know who got a hold of him at USC, but he knew what was going on all the time. He'd stop and sign autographs. And when it was time, when he'd had enough and he's got some kid standing in front of him with a crumpled up piece of paper and a pencil, he looks at me and he gives me the sign. I said, it's time. And I'm the guy. I said, Juice, we got to go. You got to meet him. And he looks at the kid and says, I got to go. He's the boss. So it was never his fault that he had to leave. But also, he always said all the right thing. He was friendly to the right people all the time and in the right way and laughed. And he was a guy that you felt like you wanted to be around. And he was. He was every bit of that. And I missed that in the later years, obviously, because he was not the same OJ. But
no.
At the time, he was what the 49ers needed. A kid from Potrero Hill coming home when they traded him from the Bills to the 49ers. And we had a great year, just, you know, welcome home OJ. And then suddenly we're 2-14 and see you later. So great fun. Football's been great for my life. It was great for my family. And we all appreciate what Dad's involvement with football brought us, and especially in Eugene at the Ducks.
24th year of the National Dog Show on NBC on Thanksgiving, noon to 2 p.m. You will see John O'Hurley, Jay Peterman, along with David Fry. And is Mary Carrillo on that broadcast? Is that?
She is. Yeah. She is still our backstage reporter, and she just got inducted. Or she just got named to the International Tennis Hall of Fame. So she was my partner with Westminster for 6 years or so. The 27 years that I did Westminster, she was my partner for six of them. So we're family. We're thrilled for Mary. And I'm thrilled every time I get to step onto the stage, so to speak, with John and Mary both. So
I'm
the luckiest man. I got the greatest job in the world.
Love it. Thank you, David Fry. Appreciate you joining
us. John, thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. Go Ducks. Go Ducks.
There it is. Now you can tune into the dog show. You got some backstory there. The son of Jerry Fry has gone on to do bigger things and is still in the media landscape and the media space. 25 million people will tune in to see that dog show on NBC on Thanksgiving Day. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth.
Nothing says holiday spirit like your cousin Eddie emerging from the hallway looking guilty while the pipes groan like they're reenacting a Civil War battle. And that's before dessert hits. It's B-Dub, and you might be stopped up after Thanksgiving, but your plumbing shouldn't be. So before someone unleashes a gravy power disaster, call River City Environmental, the toilet whisperer. They keep everything moving so your Thanksgiving doesn't turn into a full-scale emergency evacuation. River City Environmental, prevent clogged pipes and awkward family conversations. RiverCityUSA.com, CCB147355.
It's Markdown Mania at Dick's Auto Group. Prices have been slashed across $60 million in inventory. With over 1,500 vehicles in stock, you can shop the best selection of the season. Get 0% financing on select models. And Dick's Auto Group will meet or beat any advertised offer. It's Markdown Mania at Dick's Auto Group. Now through Monday only. DicksAutoGroup.com. You just gotta know where to go.
Welcome back.